This is Golf Talk Canada, Canada's only nationally syndicated golf talk radio and television program. Presented by Acura. Precision, crafted performance. Visit Acura.ca for our latest lineup, special offers, and dealer incentives. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino and Bob Weeks.
Good morning, golf fans. And this is the biggest week in Canadian golf. This is the RBC Canadian Open Week. And of course, we're going to have full coverage of that throughout our show today. Bob Weeks with you here in studio, and out at Glen Abbey is Mark Sacchino. Mark, you there?
Bob, I thought the biggest week in Canadian golf was our Festivus special in December.
I should. This is probably the biggest week of the summer. Let's put it that way. The summer schedule.
Okay.
But it is a big week, and it's a fun week. It's a lot of golf. I mean, it's the week that the PGA Tour comes to Canada. We've got another big week, of course, in a few weeks when the LPGA Tour comes. But this, to me, is a huge week, and it's already shaping up to be some great stories out there. We got Canadians in contention. We got some big names in contention. We got a course that's given up some low rounds. There's a lot going on out there.
Yeah, you know what I find amazing, Bob? That the cut line is 4 under par. Which is, low for PGA Tour standards, but the lead's at 12. Not that the lead is not low, 12 under is still a low lead, but I thought that maybe they might push that envelope a little bit more yesterday. Maybe we would see 14 or 15 with the lead. Anybody here at, 7, 8, 9 under is kind of right in a sweet spot, and obviously your pick and my pick, Dustin Johnson, at the beginning of the week is one of those guys right there, as well as a couple of our Canadian boys. So hopefully we get the exciting Sunday we're looking for with at least one Canadian flag in the mix, but it's shaping up to be pretty solid.
It is an interesting leaderboard, to say the least. As you mentioned, Dustin Johnson, you got Martin Flores, who's a Web.com Tour grad, who's come up and played very well. Matt Every. We had a 63 yesterday by Gary Woodland. Other names on that leaderboard, you got defending champion Johnny Vegas right there at 9 under. How about 54-year-old Vijay Singh, just 2 off the lead? Of course, the winner of this tournament back in 2004. And as you mentioned, a couple of Canadian flags on the leaderboard, well within striking distance. Mackenzie Hughes and Graham Dillette. We'll hear from them a little bit later in the show. We've got a busy show here coming up. We've got Golf Canada CEO Lawrence Applebaum is going to come by and talk about some of the adventures that they've had out there with the rink, which I think is a cool new addition, and some of the other stuff that's been going on out there. Before we get into all that, let's start off with some news and headlines.
News and Headlines is brought to you by Golf PEI. With 400 fairways within a 45-minute drive, PEI is a golfer's paradise. Visit golfpei.ca to book your golf vacation and discover why PEI is Canada's number one golf destination.
Well, Mark, I guess the top of the headlines is a very strange, unusual story that broke late in the day yesterday, that tournament director Brent McLaughlin is not going to be around for the weekend. Bill Paul, the longtime tournament director up until a few years ago, is going to reassume the duties for the weekend. And this is sort of a strange story. All we know is that it's a confidential employee human resources situation. And, what do you make of this?
Well, it's a strange story, Bob. First of all, I know that, Bill Paul's obviously more than qualified to take the reins for the next 48 hours, so that's the good news. It's really strange. I wish they would be more transparent. I feel the same way about the PGA Tour themselves, because they're not, being a little bit more open about this in a way, and maybe they are from a legal standpoint, I don't know, because they're using terms like HR and things like that. Maybe from a legal standpoint, they can't. But if they could say as much as they could to a legal standpoint, it would, stop the rumor mill from going, because that's what's going to happen over the next 48 hours, is the rumors are going to fly, and, a lot of false stories are probably going to be created. And it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate for the sponsors involved. It must be serious, would be my guess, because why would you want to put a spotlight on yourself like this for 48 hours if it wasn't something that needed to be dealt with immediately? All that being said, though, I want to go on the record as saying that I think Brent McLaughlin has done an absolutely incredible job with the Canadian Open the last few years when he's been at the helm of tournament director. All these great new initiatives, the huge Canadian flag a few years back behind the 18th green, last year, the food truck area, all this kind of stuff we're seeing this year, the rink and things like that. He's been a part. He's either been the spearhead or a part of all of that. And the Canadian Open has just been had so much life the last 3 years, Bob, and he's done a tremendous job. So I think it's important that we acknowledge that.
Agreed, 100%. There's some cool stuff that's happened. It's kind of changed the face of it a little bit, brought some Canadianity to it. Again, you know, the rink idea that's we'll discuss a little bit here that has been brought in around the seventh hole this year. So lots of cool things, but obviously, as you said, this must be a fairly serious situation for it to happen mid-tournament. You could have done this on Monday and kind of swept it under the rug, I think, after the attention and the focus and the spotlight, and you don't have a room full of reporters down there. We do know that he hasn't been terminated. There's no suspension here. It's a kind of a gray area. I did meet with Lawrence Applebaum about this yesterday, and he was obviously very coy, and I think as you hit the nail on the head, you said this is a legal situation. So the tournament's not going to be affected. It's going to go on. We're going to have a winner Sunday, and that'll be good news, and they can deal with that behind the doors once the tournament's over. Another headline that has been going around, it's more of a rumor, I guess, at this point, but we're expecting some sort of an announcement in the next little bit, will be that they're going to come back to Glen Abbey next year to host the RBC Canadian Open. And we're not sure how many more of these we're going to get because of obviously what's going on with Glen Abbey out there. But, you know, in my mind, this is a pretty good tournament site. It's a safe spot. It's a course that most of the players enjoy playing. It's certainly matured over the years. And as we had the creator of the course up here earlier this week saying, you know, that he's very proud of the work that he did.
Yeah, and I'm happy that it looks like we're going to get one more. And obviously there's a lot more other rumors going around out there too, Bob, right, about why Jack's here. And he was open, and he was actually openly talking about potentially going and looking at a property site and maybe finding a new home down the road that would be kind of replace Glen Abbey and things of that nature. But I love Glen Abbey. I know it's not, you know, the strongest course on the PGA Tour, and I know a lot of people find it easy to take shots at Glen Abbey for some reason or another. But from a tournament perspective, I think it does everything it's supposed to do. It's fan-friendly. It's got the space for corporate hospitality, things of that nature. And most importantly to me, Bob, from, you know, a person that does what we do for a living, it has the back nine you want. It's got signature holes. It's got three par fives that can create volatility on a leaderboard. And what's everybody's favorite golf tournament in the world? It's the Masters. Or what's everybody remember? The 17th hole at Sawgrass. And why do people like those back nines and watching those tournaments every year? Because of the drama and volatility. And Glen Abbey gives us that on the back nine. So I think it's underrated from a fan perspective, and I'm glad we get one more year.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I think it's you know, as you say, it may not be everyone's favorite course, but it provides drama. It's a good home. Everybody knows the organizing people all know where everything goes. You know, we know where to put stuff, so you don't have to kind of reinvent yourself every year. So by that token, I think it's pretty good. A couple of quick shorties here to kind of finish up. Austin Connolly, who played so well last week, was invited to come to the tournament, decided to stay over in Europe and try and solidify his European Tour card. He makes the cut at the Porsche German Open, so he's done a good job in certainly making the best of what he was given to play this week.
Yeah, and, you know, he's got to make the right decisions for his future. I know it's the Canadian Open, but he's a young man, and he'll have plenty of years to be playing the Canadian Open as a PGA Tour member more than likely down the road. So he needs to solidify status. I completely understand the decision.
He just made it on the number, so if he can put the pedal down and move up a few spots, that would certainly help him. British Senior Open is underway as well, and it's in horrible, horrible weather. Two guys yesterday didn't break 90. That's how bad this weather is, but a familiar name tied for the lead up there. That guy Bernard Langer, amazing, huh? And he's
here
under the weather too.
Oh, here we go again, Bob. What a shock, Langer! And I tell you right now, how good does Vijay Singh's decision look at age what 54 now? How good does that look coming to Glen Abbey as a chance to win?
Tied to the lead, Americans Tom Lehman, Steve Flesch, and Billy Mayfair. Argentina's Mauricio Molina. American Dennis Clark was two over, so there's a horse race over there. But it's winds up to 35 miles an hour. The average score was 78.5, so not an easy course over there where they're playing at the Senior British Open. Rod Spittle, by the way, the only Canadian, and he missed the cut. All right, we got more coming up. We're going to hear from our Canadians who are very much in the hunt. Graeme Dillette, and Mackenzie Hughes. We'll hear from them and talk about them when we come back on Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC was brought to you by Acura. Precision, crafted performance. Visit Acura.ca for our latest lineup, special offers, and dealer incentives. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment of Golf Talk Canada is brought to you by TaylorMade and the new M family of drivers and irons. Same letter, better everything. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to Golf Talk Canada, Canadian Open Edition, RBC Canadian Open Edition, and Weeks in studio and Mark Sacchino out at Glen Abbey, where he's getting ready to don the headphones and carry the microphone and that massive battery pack that goes around your back, which I'm sure feels good at the end of the day to take that thing off. I saw you walking around there yesterday. You had a pretty good little sweat stain going on your back there.
I had the Hal Sutton going.
Yeah.
I just sweat from spots you're not supposed to, Bob. Yeah, I don't know. It's fun. I love it. It's fun, but I tell you, it's way harder work than I normally like.
Yeah, it's not easy when you're covering golf. I remember the old TV days when we used to go out there. You got to hustle, and when you're carrying a pack like you have, I know it's a calorie burner, that's for sure. We have got two Canadians who made the cut, and we had 17 that started, so it's a little disappointing that we didn't get a few more in there. We had five guys though who missed on the number. Right, they all finished at 3 under. Hugo Bernard, the really nice amateur player. I don't know if you've had a chance to see his swing, but boy, he's a lefty like us, so pretty powerful. Drew Nesbitt, Bryn Perry, and then the two ones that probably really sting, Nick Taylor and David Hearn, who were close. But we've got two. And these two guys, they're within four shots of the lead. Both of them were talking about having to put a low number on the board today. And there's some low numbers out there. And these guys have posted low numbers this year. Mackenzie Hughes' low round of the season so far is a 61, which he did when he won the RSM Classic. And Graeme Dillette posted a 64, his last start. So both are very capable. Get your comments on both these guys in just a sec here, Mark. But I'm going to start by, let's have a quick chat and hear from Graeme Dillette. Graeme, lovely round out there. A couple of big finish. That one on 8 was a bomb, 82 feet. I think we had it measured at it. But sum up your round today for us.
Yeah, it was just really solid. I made a really bad bogey on 10 from the middle of the fairway, 115 yards out. And then it was just really solid the rest of the way after that. I can't believe that putt on the last didn't fall, but that putt on 8 should not have fallen. So they kind of even out. But I'm in good position. Game feels good, and hopefully I can keep it going.
You've talked about this golf course not being one where you've had a good record before. Is it that you're playing better, or is that you're figuring this golf course out finally after all these tries?
No, I think it's more just I feel like I've never driven it well here, and I'm hitting in the fairway, and I think pretty much every time you're in the fairway here, with the exception of maybe 6 and 8 today because they're playing so long into the wind, I mean, you're going to have a good look at birdie as soft as the greens are. So, I think that's the key, especially going into the weekend, is to continue to hit fairways, and if I can do that, I should be in good shape.
This is looking like it's going to be a shootout. It doesn't look like it's going to firm up too much more. How happy are you to see a shootout, or would you prefer to see it hard and fast like last year?
Either way, I mean, you're going to have to play well. This golf course is extremely difficult when it's hard and fast. It's not really built that way. You can't chase anything up to the green. So last year was really tough. I mean, the scores are still really low, but no matter what, you got to play some good golf, and I'm looking forward to the challenge. I know that the crowds will probably be big tomorrow and fun, and I just need to try to embrace that. And I'm within striking distance, so another solid round tomorrow or something, you know, really low. I think I'm going to need two really good ones, or like one really special to get the win. But I'm in the hunt. So
can you feed off this crowd? Can you use it to kind of start that accelerator?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's pretty fun when, you know, Dave made a couple good putts coming down the stretch today, and there was some excitement in the air. So I hope to make a little bit of noise, but we'll have to see. Comes down to the golf game.
Good luck on Saturday.
Thanks, Bob.
And there is Graeme Dillette, 8 under par through two rounds. Mark, what have you noticed about his game or in the brief chances? I know because you've been covering other guys out there, but what do you like about his chances?
Well, Bob, I think it's the same old, really, with Graeme Dillette, that with the exception of confidence, which I think hopefully he's getting some confidence from the hometown support and the home country support and the fact that he's playing well. It's that the putter is working. He's on the positive side of strokes gained putting through 36 holes. And how many times have you and I looked at a leaderboard? Graham Dillette, you know, has put two good rounds together. He's in the hunt, and he's on the other side of that equation somehow because he's such a good ball striker. So if he can stay on the positive side of strokes game putting and, you know, maybe find the odd 80-footer or surprise or make the odd 25, 30-foot putt that he's not supposed to, then who knows? Maybe that Pat Fletcher jinx breaks this year. But I followed him for a couple holes yesterday. That was about it. And one of the holes was number 9, and I'm with him. I don't know how that putt stayed out on number 9, but if he can stay out of his way with the putter and stay on the positive side of strokes gained putting, who knows? Maybe this is a good weekend for him.
Yeah, he certainly improved that putter this year. It's been one of the keys to his success, and as I mentioned, he's a guy who can fill up the cup when he gets it rolling. Mackenzie Hughes also at 8 under par, and he had an interesting round. It was sort of filled with a little bit of pretty good, but also a couple of frustrating moments, and I had a chance to chat with him after his round.
Mackenzie Hughes, wonderful round of golf out there today. I know you were frustrated at times during the round, but can you sum it up?
All in all, it's okay. It's not great. I would have liked to have gotten a couple more there. I don't know, I was on, but I was also off at times. And I mean, you're going to have those kind of rounds. And I did well to manage it. It was kind of tricky out there. The winds were kind of swirling and a little bit gusty at times. So 3-under was a good score. If you had given me that at the start of the day, I probably would have taken it. But probably played well enough to shoot, you know, 5 or 6. I think I made seven or so birdies, something like that, and missed a few shorties like that I don't normally miss, but, you know, good chance for the weekend.
Is this a round that maybe a year ago, 2 years ago, might have been able to slip away from you? Is that one of the ones where you're proud of the management that you were able to hold it together?
Yeah, I mean, early on, it was playing pretty tricky. I mean, I bogeyed the first hole and made quite a mess of it, but, you know, held my composure there to make a 5-footer for bogey, and then a nice little bounce back on 2 with a birdie, and then really kind of started to settle in. And but it was just playing tough. I mean, there was... you know, some tough pins. The wind was all around the golf course, kind of all in different directions. And but yeah, I'm proud of the way I managed it and kind of hung in there.
And there is Mackenzie Hughes. He is at 8-under through 2 rounds. And Mark, I think the interesting thing about Mac is the great year that he's had. You kind of forget he's still in his first year on the PGA Tour, and this is his first time playing this tournament as a professional. He's always missed it the last few years because he's been concentrating either on Web Tour or on PGA Tour Canada. He did play a couple of years as an amateur when he won the Canadian Amateur Championship back-to-back, but the one advantage he has this week as opposed to most weeks this year is that he does kind of know the golf course from playing here over the years.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting, Bob. You know, he's played here a few times. He said about 20, 22 times he's played this golf course over the years. I actually thought it would have been more considering, you know, he's from Dundas. But, you know, I loved your question there. Is this a round that, you know, maybe could have gotten away from you in the past or something along those lines? I thought, you know, that was a great question because the way I'm thinking, if I'm Mackenzie Hughes right now, I got tons of confidence. I made 4 bogeys yesterday. No way he should have made 4 bogeys. He missed a bunch of short putts. That's kind of like the worst round he's going to shoot this week. I'd be shocked if he has a round in him higher than what he shot yesterday and it managed to be 3-under par. Now, I know, you know, that's easier said than done, but, you know, this is a tournament where you got to go make birdies, and I'd be surprised if Mackenzie Hughes didn't shoot, you know, 68, 67, 69 at worst again today. So, you know, he's going to move forward. So if I'm Mackenzie Hughes, I like his attitude there. He did not sound happy with that round of golf. He did not sound pleased, yet it was a 69. So I think that says a lot about how he's feeling about his game, and maybe he's got something in the tank today that maybe look out for him today.
Through 36 holes, by the way, tied for 3rd in greens and regulations. So you said, as you said, you know, if he can fill it up, get that putter working, because he is on the negative side. We're talking about Graham Dillette being on the positive side of that ledger in the strokes gained putting. He's on the negative side. He's a 66th in that category. So if he makes a few more of those bombs, a few more of the shorty ones that he missed, I think he can put himself in contention heading into Sunday. Wouldn't that be fun? I don't think there'd be anybody left in Dundas, Ontario. coming back after the break, we're going to talk to some of the leaders. Mark had a chance to chat with many of them, so we'll hear from those and a few more Canadians when Golf Talk Canada continues.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by TaylorMade and the new M family of drivers and irons. Same letter, better everything. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment of Golf Talk Canada is brought to you by Moto Caddy and Stewart Golf Dream Machines, the Canadian market leader in electric walking golf trolleys. Sold in over 30 countries around the world, they offer the widest selection of golf trolleys for players of all ages, abilities, and budgets. For more information, visit jpsmgolf.com. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to Golf Talk Canada. Bob Weeks in studio. Mark Zucchino out at Glen Abbey, and he's going to be walking with some of the top groups out there, and we're going to hear from some of those guys right now. Mark, do you have your marching orders yet today? Do you know what you're doing?
Yes, I am doing pre-round interviews with the final two groups, and then I'll be out with the final group with Every and Flores at 1:25 p.m. Eastern today. So final group, unless my guess would be if a Canadian gets crazy and vaults up the leaderboard, I may have split duties.
They may want you to cover the Canadian because you can speak the language, right?
Well, that's
no
it,
translation
all that hockey
needed.
Terminology.
Yeah, exactly. Well, our leader, as you mentioned, is Martin Flores. He has a couple of 66s in the bank so far. And let's just hear from him after those two beautiful rounds.
No, you know, I played difficult. I thought the last probably seven holes. You know, I'm happy with my round. You know, I got off to a nice start, sprinkled in an eagle, and then, you know, I wasn't as, like I said, as tidy as I wanted to be, but, you know, I got the ball up and down, which is great, and I want to keep the momentum in my favor.
Flores is a web.com tour grad and has had a pretty decent year so far. Kind of a little bit of a mixed bag out there, but he's got a pretty solid game. I had a chance to watch him for a little bit yesterday.
He's leading in strokes gained total this week. And Bob, funny, he's eagled the second hole twice in their first round and second round, only par five on that front side. And he's made three both times. So I think Martin Flores likes that par five. I think he wish he could play it 18 times. So we'll see what he does there today early in his round. Needs to get off to a good start probably to settle the nerves a bit.
He's made an eagle in each of the first two rounds. I've made an eagle in each of the last two decades. Here is now you had a chance to chat with the ever entertaining Matt Every, who is a shot back. I find this guy very entertaining. He doesn't speak a lot. He's a tough interview, but you did a good job. Let's hear with Matt Every.
Matt, good solid day today. The putter still working well.
Yeah, I am playing good. I played really good today. A little scrappy in the middle, but I got some. And the valley hole's a little wetter down there than anywhere else. Picked up three mud balls in a row. It kind of slowed my momentum down after good drives, but it's probably happening to a lot of people. So played a little tougher today. I'm happy with where I'm at, though.
Yeah, your scrambling numbers are pretty solid, and especially coming down the stretch here. We've had some good up and downs. Does that give you confidence thinking, I don't need to hit it perfect because I'm getting up and down okay?
No. Yeah, I'd rather not do that all the time. But yeah, I mean, that's when guys play well, that's what they do, you know? So it's just one of those weeks.
Matt Every, who was after the first round, had some really interesting comments. He said, you know, he's been on a sort of a 3-month drought, and he said, we asked him, you know, what's been the improvement? He says, I just didn't want to suck for the rest of my life. I just find this guy very entertaining in a very different way. And your interview with him there, Mark, is kind of talks about that, doesn't it?
Bob, it's hard. It is hard sometimes to get something out of that. You never know what you're going to get. I don't know if you heard yesterday in one of his, or sorry, on Thursday in one of his post rounds, he dropped an F-bomb.
Yeah.
I think it was PGTour.com. Somebody had it anyway.
It was right in the main scrum.
Oh, was it? Okay. Well, I got to do a pre-round with him today, and I got to be honest with you. The pre-rounders I always find a little nerve-wracking because you know, you got to be careful what you say. You don't want to say anything negative. You don't want to like say anything too serious. They're kind of light and fluffy and just, hey, go have a good day, and, oh, you're playing great, and yada, yada. So, you know, I'm going to be very careful with Matt today what I say. I might just say good luck. Have
yeah,
a nice day.
That's right. That might be enough. That might be enough. Another guy in the mix, Kevin Chappell, a guy who was took forever to finally get that first win, which he did this year. A fine player out there, and you had a chance to chat with him. Let's hear that conversation.
Kevin Strong finish, three in a row. How important was that for the psyche to salvage a good round of golf?
That was very important, probably for the remainder of the golf tournament as well. Just kind of got lost down there in the valley and, you know, needed to kind of gut it out there in the end. And, you know, didn't hit the best of shots, but, you know, got it done.
Hitting the ball very well. Is the plan for the weekend to be patient with the putter? If this putter comes around, we could see some low numbers from you.
Yeah, you know, obviously everyone wants to make more putts. I definitely feel like I left a few out there, but, you know, I'll keep being patient, working on the things I'm working on, and hopefully we'll see some evidence of improvement.
I love the bounce back, as you mentioned in that interview, Mark. You know, he's took to the backside and bogeyed 10, 13, and 14, and it might have gone off the rails, but 16, 17, 18 goes birdie, birdie, birdie. So a very solid finish to his round, and as you said, you got to think that's going to be a good jumping off point for today.
Yeah, you know, that strong finish has to be momentum builder. He's such a good player, as you outlined, Bob, and he finally got that win. And you and I have been waiting for that win, as the golf world has, expecting it to come much sooner. It finally came this year, so he's playing well. And he said, you know, I got a little lost in the valley. And, you know, that stretch of golf, especially 12, 13, and 14, especially that, with no disrespect to 11 and 15, because those are good holes as well. But that could be one of the more underrated stretches of golf on the PGA Tour, you know. And there's a huge difference from those valley holes to up top. And players do get lost down there. And the wind swirls, there confuses the direction is where it's coming from compared to the top. And, you know, it makes for exciting golf. And it got Kevin yesterday, but I don't think it'll get him today.
You're right. That valley hole is very underrated. Valley holes, I should say, are very underrated. And it's tough down there. And there are some really, really key holes that have determined Open champions over the years. One guy who won't be around for the weekend and a disappointment for sure, Adam Hadwin, the Canadian who had a great year, start to the year, but has really been struggling the last little while for a number of different matters. Let's just hear from him and then we'll chat about him.
Yeah, you know, well, this week's always great. It's always great to come home and play in front of Canadian fans. It is disappointing not to play well. You know, I fought hard today. Going in the front nine, I had a chance, made a long one-on-one, and had a good look at eagle on two, and some putts just didn't fall in the front. But, you know, I started playing a little bit better today. I was happy with it. Obviously, I just kind of shot myself in the foot yesterday, but happy with the progress and hopefully moving forward now into the WGC next week.
Adam has missed the last three cuts now in a row, Quicken Loans, the Open Championship in here. And to me, it's kind of looks like he's putting a lot of pressure on himself to try and get back to where the way he was playing at the start of the year when he shot the 59, when he had the win, when he had a sixth at Arnold Palmer. And I know he's talked to me about the fact that he just wants to try and go out and have fun and relax, but that's a lot easier said than done.
It certainly is, and it's interesting, you know, his putting numbers are still pretty good, but the rest of the game seems to be struggling a bit. And he's such a good ball striker, it really doesn't make much sense to me. But I think you're right, Bob. I think he's trying to force it. I think he got into a bit of a rut there a few months back and has been trying to force himself out of it as opposed to just, you know, let it happen, basics, fundamentals. I think you get off the path maybe a little bit too much. You know, he's had some changes in his life as well, good ones, but still change. You know, anytime you get, you know, getting married and, you know, now all of a sudden being vaulted into the spotlight of majors and World Golf Championship events, it's a lot all at once. But I'm pretty confident he'll find it soon here come the end of this summer and have a good finish. I'd be surprised if this drought lasted much longer for Adam Hadwin. He's just too good and he's just too sharp a guy and competitive a guy. And right now he's 11th on that President's Cup points list. So he's gotta pull up his pants because he wants to be on that President's Cup team. And you know, with Mike Weir as the assistant captain, I know they want him there. So he's got a big stretch of golf ahead of him.
Yeah, and I think he's got to show something to Captain Nick Price in the next 2 weeks. He's got a WGC. He's got that PGA Championship. You know, you don't want to go have a whole string of missed cuts there on your record when you're trying to get a captain's pick. So hopefully he can get himself automatically on there. But if not, he's got to show some form. Another guy who's missing the cut and a guy who almost won this tournament a couple of years ago, David Hearn. Let's hear from him.
Yeah, again, a little bit disappointing tee to green. Yeah, just didn't have the control of my ball coming into the green, and I really hung in there great. And like you say, I made a couple nice putts on 6 and 7, but you know, to make a bogey and then miss a relatively short putt on the last hole, you know, I'm pretty disappointed right now. It's been one of those years. It's just been on the edge all year, and just sort of waiting for that sign to kind of get over the hump. And I was hoping it would be this week, but you know, hopefully next week.
And David is, you know, he's starting to round into shape. He's starting to find that game. He's kind of on the bubble, though, right now in terms of staying inside the FedEx Cup cut line. He's projected now with that miscut to go to 121. He was at 115. So he needs to make a couple of cuts in the next little while here to kind of solidify things and get into those FedEx Cup playoffs.
Yeah, and it's so weird too, Bob, because, you know, the last few years, you know, David Hearn has been, like, we haven't even thought about him not being in the playoffs. In fact, I haven't even thought about him not making it all the way to the BMW Championship. The conversation was, you know, is David going to get to the top 30? Will he make it to Atlanta? And, you know, anytime I've had an opportunity to talk to David, that's been kind of like one of the season goals that he kind of lines up for the year. He's got 5, 6, 7 goals that he kind of sketches out. And one of them is always final 30 Atlanta East Lake for the final of the FedEx Cup Tour Championship. And now, like you're saying, he needs a strong push here come the end of the season if he's going to solidify a playoff spot. And, you know, playoffs are important now to these guys. There's a lot of money out there. And, you know, you don't want to miss out on that money. You don't want to have to go back and worry about your card, certainly. So another guy with an important stretch for different reasons. You know, Adam Hadwin, an important stretch. David Hearn, important stretch. But for different reasons, they got to play well over the next 30 days.
And to be fair to David, he's been working on some swing changes to find a little more consistency in his game. And there, you know, he started to show a few signs in the last few tournament starts that indicate that he's getting closer. I asked him if it was sort of starting to feel natural now where you don't have to think about it. He said it's not quite there. And it's sort of like one step forward, two steps back. At this moment, but hopefully he's going to switch that around so it's two steps forward, one step back. And a big shout out to him. He's going to have his big charity tournament on Monday at his home club at Brantford, and good for him. He's going to raise some money for the Alzheimer's Society of Canada, and that's something that's touched his family. So he's going to hang around anyway and get that done. We're going to hang around here too. We're going to come back after this break with some more on Golf Talk Canada. We're going to get Mark Zucchino on the record. He will give you his winner. And I'm going to be interested to see who he picks here as we get to the weekend and let him loose to go wander the fairways of Glen Abbey with an antenna sticking out of his head. More when we come back on Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by Moto Caddy and Stewart Golf Dream Machines, the Canadian market leader in electric walking golf trolleys. Sold in over 30 countries around the world, they offer the widest selection of golf trolleys for players of all ages, abilities, and budgets. For more information, visit jpsmgolf.com. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment of Golf Talk Canada is brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories, including DigiFit Floor Liner, the most advanced concept in floor protection today. Visit WeatherTech.ca. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to Golf Talk Canada. Weeks in studio, Zucchino out at the Abbey already, and where I'll be heading shortly after we get off the air here. And Mark, I wanted to ask you and get your opinion on the new innovation this year, the rink, which is surrounding the seventh hole. Got hockey boards around there. They have a hockey theme. They had a net where guys were taking shots during the practice rounds. And I've had a couple people who said, you know, it's a bit hokey. It's a bit sort of playing into your stereotype. Other people just love it. They're banging on the boards and stuff when players make good shots there. What's your thought on it?
Well, I think it's totally hokey, and it totally feeds into the stereotype, but I don't care. I think that's great. I'm not going to get hung up on that. I think the players love it. I think most of the fans love it. Players, with you and me, myself, when we were shooting Golf Talk Canada TV on Tuesday, they were having a blast firing pucks into the net. Jack Nicklaus had some fun in his hockey jersey, flipping some pucks into the net back on Tuesday. I think overall, at the end of the day, tournaments are looking for identity. I went to the John Deere Classic a couple of weeks ago, as you know, and they've got all their tractors and gear out, and they have the big dig on Tuesday night where the, you know, the players and media can get into the tractors and dig a hole. And, you know, you go all over the place, and tournaments are trying to, you know, cut a niche out for themselves. So this is our national championship, and what's more Canadian than hockey? You know, I have no idea if there's anything more Canadian than hockey. So I think overall I give them a thumbs up on it. And yeah, hockey sometimes is good.
I think it's great. I think it's fun too, and I think they can build from it. I think next year on that hole, they should take this all the sand out of the bunkers on that green and just fill it with poutine. I think that would be pretty cool. See if the guys can get out of that the poutine trap. No, I love it. I think it's a lot of fun. And the players have bought into it, not only in the practice rounds, but you saw Rob Roxburgh, who's been caddying for Mike Weir here. He put on the Team Canada jersey and put on one of the goalie masks. Mike was flipping plastic hockey pucks into the crowd, and some of the guys were tossing shirts and things. So, you know, taking a little bit of that atmosphere from what they have at the Waste Management and bringing it home here, I don't think it's a bad idea. And I think it's something they can build on. You know, I think they can add even more to it, maybe.
Yeah, I agree. I'm fine with all of it, and maybe it becomes something that everybody looks forward to, and they add a twist every year. I love the officials, the volunteers wearing the referee shirts. And I like that, grabbing that little bit from the Waste Management, as long as we leave the drunken debauchery at the Waste Management, Bob.
Yeah, well, remember they used to have the caddy races? Maybe we can put skates on the caddy and we can freeze up the pond or something and make them run around. That would be good. Listen, we're gonna put our picks up here and see what we think is going to happen. I think it's such an interesting leaderboard. It's such a crowded leaderboard. There's so many names within so many shots of the lead, as you pointed out at the start of the show. But give me a couple of names that you like to make a big move today.
Well, I'll stick with my original winner from this week. I know we both like Dustin Johnson. I'm going to stick with Dustin Johnson. I think the lead at the end of the day, Bob, is going to be around 15, 16 under. So I expect DJ to shoot probably 65 today and be at 15 under, which either give him a piece of the lead or one back. I think that's your eventual winner. But I'm not going to rule out a lot of these great players. I think Kevin Chappell's going to have a good weekend. Don't count out Charlie Hoffman. He is sneaky long, likes the par fives here. He's at 10 under. And certainly Mackenzie Hughes. I expect Mackenzie to move forward and improve on this leaderboard today. So that's what I've got my eyes on.
Okay, I like Gary Woodland, who shot the 63 yesterday, missed a good putt to tie the course record of 62 on the ninth hole, which was his 18th. He's been playing really well. He had one blip of a round at the Open Championship last week, but other than that, this guy is just getting ready to break out. And I know I talked to his caddy, Brendan Little, who's a longtime caddy for Mike Weir, and he says that he just loves the way he's playing, and that round yesterday says a lot. And don't overlook Johnny Vegas. I think Johnny Vegas, who is the defending champion, is at T10 right now, 9 under par. He's been playing well and seems to be liking what's going on the course so far. A couple of tee times for you here to take note of. Graeme Dillette is going to go at 11:55 alongside Ian Poulter. They had a little fun on Twitter going back and forth. Poulter said he was going to hopefully get some hockey tips from Dillette, and Dillette said he'd get some dart tips from Poulter. Mackenzie Hughes is going to go at 11:25 this morning out at the Abbey, and he is going to be playing alongside Tag Ridings. Out on the course already. They just teed off, they're just about to tee off. 8:55. Bubba and Cooch playing together. That's a good one to follow if you're going out a little bit earlier today to have a look. And Dustin Johnson will go at 12:05. Last tee time today with Mark Zucchino tagging along for PGA Tour Radio will be at 1:25. Mark, last thoughts before we say goodbye to our national audience.
I think it's going to be a great day. I think with the exception, Bob, of the Mackenzie Hughes and Graeme Dillette within striking distance, what a story this would be if a 54-year-old Vijay Singh, who won this tournament 13 years ago, could win it again at the same spot. That would be a huge story, I think, come Monday morning.
Pretty interesting. I think he made the right call, as you said, though, skipping the Senior British Open and the 8-degree weather over there and playing here in beautiful sunny, because it is going to be a beautiful weekend. Sun, no rain in the forecast, which is unusual for weekends here this summer. So enjoy it if you get out there, folks. Say hi to Mark Zucchino when he's going long pole on his little antenna there. And Mark, we'll see you out there a little bit later. For all the folks listening in the Greater Toronto and Hamilton area, we got 30 more minutes coming up. There's more Golf Talk Canada ahead.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories, including DigiFit Floor Liner, the most advanced concept in floor protection today. Visit WeatherTech.ca. Thank you for listening, and don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Golf Talk Canada. For blogs, show archives, video highlights, and TV schedule, visit us online at golftalkcanada.ca. We'll be right back with more GTC. This segment of Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura, is brought to you by St. Kitts, the Caribbean's most welcoming golf experience. Follow your heart to breathtaking golf in warm, inviting St. Kitts. For information on wonderful resorts and championship courses, visit golfawaytours.com today. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to Golf Talk Canada. Bob Weeks in studio here, joined now by producer Adam Scully for the next 30 minutes as we break down what's going on in the biggest week in Canadian golf. It is RBC Canadian Open Week out at the Abbey. They were through 36 holes. Actually, they've started the third round out there. There's some scores on the board from the early goers. And just on the tee now, as we're talking, actually, is Cooch and
Bubba
going out there and hitting it around. So there's lots of great star power still left to go out and watch if you're in the neighborhood and you want to stop by and see a good day. Looks like it's going to be a really nice day. High of 26, sunny, no rain in the forecast. Someone said this is the first time in 6 weekends that we haven't had any rain in the forecast, and only the second time since March or something.
Should we knock on wood, though? Because, yeah, I mean, exactly. Who knows what could happen with the weather this time of year, especially in the GTA, because it seems like every time you want to go and play golf, at some point it's going to get cloudy or look like it's going to rain. So let's be cautiously optimistic that the rain holds off. But we do know that on Thursday, it absolutely downpoured on Glen Abbey.
It came down hard, and it was sort of an isolated storm. Like, people in Toronto didn't get any, downtown Toronto, for instance, didn't get any rain at all. We just got hammered out of the Abbey, though.
Yeah, and the weather just changed completely. Like, just before the rain, it was very, very humid and very smoggy almost, and then the rain hit, and then it was still a little on the warm side. But yesterday, I found, at least being on the grounds, that it was significantly cooler.
Okay.
In certain spots, it was breezier as well.
And definitely breezier.
And I've heard today the breeze is supposed to kick up as well,
right?
Another notch. So
be a tougher day out there for these guys. Now, you've had a chance, you've been out there for most of the week, and you had a chance to kind of walk around as an average Joe out there, a spectator, and you found some cool stuff out there.
Yeah, you know, I was just curious just to see the whole fan experience. So I had some downtime yesterday afternoon, and there was one event where you could make a putt for a BMW, which was really cool.
BMWs.
Well, it's sort of, you have to make three in a row. If you made one, there was, you get a lease for like a week or something. But if you make all three in a row, you actually get a BMW. So that was.
So this is not every person. Like, there's a narrow competition.
Yeah. So right? it's some sort of, like, you have to make it so far. But there were a bunch of people lined up there, and then there was some sort of Golf Canada had a bit of a simulator going on. Golf Town had some, like, a robot sort of like to help your golf swing out, obviously all the food trucks and everything that was there. So it was pretty cool just to sort of walk around, you know, as your typical average Joe, just to see, you know, hey, there's golf going on, but what else can I do while I'm here?
And I think that's one of the things they've tried to do at this tournament, is to, and every tournament now these days, you can't just go out and watch golf. You got to have more stuff going on. And I've seemed to, I don't know if it's just me, but it seems to me there's more kids out there now these days. Now, juniors do get in for free, so that's obviously great. You can bring them out there and walk along with your young guys. And I think that's part of it. But also, you know, their attention span, if they're really young, doesn't last that long watching a golfer. So they go and you can take them in the simulators or the food trucks.
Absolutely. Some of those things. All that fun stuff. And it was great to see on a personal level, there are a couple of young Bayview Country Club junior golfers out there.
Nice.
Wandering around. And so I caught up with them. And then also earlier in the week, they were involved on one of the Pro-Am days. One of them was actually caddying for Vijay Singh for a hole. So
cool.
So sort of pushing his bag and had to sing a couple putts with his putter. So that was pretty, neat to see that happen.
There's also been some celebrity sightings out there. Tell me, you ran into a couple of guys.
I ran into Connor McDavid there.
Wow.
So I have some connections back in the day with the junior hockey show I'm also involved with. So I chatted with him very briefly, and it was funny. Obviously, he was there discreetly, so he had the hat down low and the sunglasses on. And once people caught on, it was Connor McDavid. It was absolutely mayhem.
Was it?
Which you can imagine, he's you know, one of, if not the best players in the National Hockey League. But I think the funniest thing was, so Connor was there with three buddies who were a little bigger than him, sort of not as a security, but a policeman, an officer walked by, and I thought he was going to sort of push people along, but he actually posed for a photo with Connor as well.
That's hysterical.
So that was, and it was, he was also right, he was right by the rink hole, number 7.
Okay.
So coincidentally, so he was right there watching.
He didn't jump over the boards? And
he did not, but he did witness, as I did as well, the I call it the hat trick, where DJ, Jim Furyk, and Johnny Vegas all birdied the seventh hole.
That's
so
right.
I guess we can call that the hat trick, if you want to be punny of some sort.
There were some other hockey players playing in the Pro-Am.
I
think Cal Clutterbuck was alongside with Connor Brown of the Toronto Maple Leafs, your Toronto Maple Leafs, and they had a huge crowd. Obviously, if you're a Leaf, you're gold around here, so they were playing. And the third member of that of their Pro-Am team was some stiff named James Duthie, who was playing out there. So,
wow.
And we had producer Jamie Rydell caddying for him.
Wow. And so I know Jamie was pretty on Instagram. He had some pretty strong posts out there. He was going from major champion to the Jimmy Duthie to other major champion. I don't know how the results went. Have you heard anything
about
that?
Apparently they did pretty well. I don't think they won it, but they were like 15 under par.
Wow.
So I think they're pretty good. Their pro was Ollie Schneidergens, who had to share the first round lead. And I asked Ollie after if it was all because of the tips that he got from Duthie. And he said, yes, exactly. That's exactly what it was. Duthie commented to me after, says, I only gave him one tip, and that was to swing completely opposite to what I do. That's pretty good. There was a trio of Philadelphia Flyers is also playing in a group, including Claude Giroux. And,
yes.
Claude Giroux actually tried to take, so they had a hockey stick set up for guys shooting pucks in the nets. Mm-hmm. He took a golf ball and tried to use a hockey stick to get it onto the green on the seventh hole, and it didn't end very well. It kind of flared off to the right, and he put two in the pond, and then he said, okay, that's enough of that.
Well, on that subject, you see the video of David Lingmerth doing the same thing? And he actually hit it into the bunker and got up and down.
I know. So almost all the players who were playing in the Pro-Am, as they came by the hockey net, which was sort of down the row a little bit from where they teed off, they took shots. And according to the guy who was there all day, the best guys shooting the puck were Gerard Dutoit, Mike Weir, and David Lingmerth. They said David Lingmerth was ripping it. He said, and he's apparently good friends with a lot of the Swedish hockey players.
Yeah, and he's been a lifelong, I believe it's a Washington Capitals fan. I remember watching the video, and he played the game for 10, 15 years, and he's built like a hockey player. So
yeah,
he's got the motion through, and he's got the, obviously rotates well. He's got the big lower body. So it's been a pretty cool week just to sort of see, obviously Glen Abbey is this great golf course and so historic and has had so many great moments, but to see everything away from the golf has been pretty eye-opening for me personally.
Yeah, it's a neat experience for people who have not been out. And I don't know how many people or our listeners have never been out to the Open. Mm-hmm. Like, I think a lot of people have gone over the years. I think this is, the 29th time it's been held at the Abbey, which is great. And I think it's kind of a neat experience that they keep expanding on it, as we've just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, what really brings them out is the players, and we've got a good leaderboard out there. When you walk around, I don't know, is there a favorite hole that you like to sit at, or are you a guy who would walk around and just kind of follow a group?
Well, I'm one to sort of, I want to see guys tee off, just to sort of see their different swings. So in terms of that, I stood by the 10th hole yesterday. I was right sort of, if there was the ropes, I was literally right there. So I, coming through there, saw Keegan Bradley, who has got a great motion through the golf ball, Bubba, Cooch, Ernie Els, Mac Hughes, and I was fortunate. One of the Instagram one of the posts, they posted a photo of Bubba, and all you could see was me in the background, which is pretty good.
Your moment with greatness.
Yes, but in terms of actually yesterday, I had a good little by 17 green and 18 tee. They're very close together, so for about probably an hour and a half yesterday, I'd watch them hit into 17. Hit their putts, and then run up to 18T, watch them tee off. And it was almost too bad because 18 was into the wind.
Right.
So no one was taking on that bunker on the left. Everyone was sort of just hitting a high draw on the right-hand side. Some other cool spots, I guess, Glen Abbey, if you're going today. 15, the par 3.
Yes.
Up the hill. It's got a cool, there's a nice grandstand. There's a lot of space to the left of the green. That green is very difficult itself. There's a lot of undulating slopes there. I haven't been quite down to the valley just yet, down to 11, 12, 13. But if you're going, that would definitely be a good spot to see, because you're going to see some eagles and you're going to see some higher numbers as well.
There's some cool spots. The way it was designed, of course, Jack Nicklaus was talking about this when we talked to him this week, about how there's little spokes that come out from the clubhouse, and you can go to an area like you were just saying and watch, you know, a tee, a green, maybe two tees, maybe a fairway, and there's good little groupings of holes where you can see a lot of the action if you want, and you can sit in the grandstand. There's lots of on the hill on 18 is kind of a nice spot. It looks like it's going to be a good day weather-wise to kind of do that. So let me just run over a couple of the tee times again before we take a quick break here, but come back for our last segment. The leaders will tee off. Matt Every, Martin Flores at 125. Gary Woodland and Brandon Hagee are at 115. Vijay and Kevin Chappell, 105. And Ryan Ruffles, the young Australian, and Charlie Hoffman at 1255. Our Canadians are going to go a little earlier, 11:55. Graeme Dillett alongside Ian Poulter. That's a good one to watch and walk with. Mm-hmm. And then Matt Hughes goes with Tag Riding. So you're going to have to fight your way through most of the population of Dundas, Ontario, which will be following that group.
And a lot of Mac's young friends from when he was growing up as well, and they're very loud as well, which is great.
We have to come up with a name, you know, like Arnie's Army or something. We'll have to come up with Mac's Men or something. I'm not sure how we do that. But he's been playing, both those guys playing really good golf, and I think it wouldn't be out of the stretch of imagination to see one of them in the last three or four groups come Sunday.
Well, and as Mackenzie said to you, you know, he made seven birdies, but he also missed some short putts. In particular, I saw when he missed when he three putted 16, and he missed. He really just pulled the putt from about 4.5-5 feet. But then obviously he came back and birdied 17. He's a guy that I'm really watching just to limit his mistakes. And if he can post another, you know, 4, 5, 6 under round, who knows what could happen on Sunday.
He had a cool thing happen to him this week. So of course Dundas Valley is his golf course, and they have a little par 3 course, which is where he learned how to play. And earlier this week they renamed the golf course the Mackenzie Hughes Par 3 course. Hmm. What a great honor and what a great move by that golf club to do that. And it's a historic golf course. It's old Stanley Thompson golf course. So it's a wonderful, wonderful spot. And now Mac is going to have a little piece of it for forever and ever, as it looks. The other big name, of course, Dustin Johnson. He'll go at 12:05 along with former Canadian Open champ Shea Revie. It's actually Ches Revie. We call him Shea Revie.
Well, and it's funny watching Dustin up close, seeing the reaction of fans when he hits a golf ball. It's, oh my god, that just happened. And and watching Dustin contort his body the way he does and gets his hands way up, and it's amazing to not only watch him play but to watch other people watch him play. It's the same thing with Bubba as well.
I think he's really close to a breakout. He sort of talks about he's almost put all the pieces back together from when he slipped and fell, or before he slipped and fell at the Masters. And I think you might see that today or possibly tomorrow. All right, we got one more segment left, and when we come back we'll talk a little bit more about some of the leaders here. We'll give you a rundown on some more of the activities that are going on out at Glen Abbey, and we'll put Mr. Scully on the spot and give us his winner for the RBC Canadian Open. More ahead on Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by St. Kitts, the Caribbean's most welcoming golf experience. Follow your heart to breathtaking golf in warm, inviting St. Kitts. For information on wonderful resorts and championship courses, visit golfawaytours.com today. This segment of Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura, is brought to you by the Muskoka Bay Club. Live, stay, and play at our award-winning championship golf course. Visit MuskokaBayResort.com today. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to Golf Talk Canada, RBC Canadian Open edition. Our final segment here, Adam Scully has joined me here, producer Adam Scully, who always has some interesting thoughts about the game of golf. And we're going to go run down some of the leaderboards here, because there is some other golf going on in the world. And why don't you kick it off, Adam?
Okay, so let's start off here with around the world here. So we got the Canadian Open earlier. Let's start here with the Digital Alley Open. And Andrew Landry, who you may remember from the U.S. Open last year, was in contention for a lot of it, is currently leading. The first round was postponed a day because of some horrible weather in the Kansas City area. But Michael Gligich, Canadian, one off the lead.
Nice.
Good to see him there. Also Canadian Adam Svensson, two back. And another Canadian, Albin Choi, is three off the lead.
Cool. The women are playing over in Europe, getting ready for their major next week, which is the Ricoh Women's British Open. But they're playing the Aberdeen Asset Management Ladies Scottish Open. And it's a little bit old school on the leaderboard. We got Kari Webb leading at six under par. Christy Kerr is at five. And of note, in fourth place, four off the lead now, is Olafia Kristindottir. And do you know why she's interesting?
Her last name is 12 letters?
Yeah. She's from Iceland.
Really?
How many golfers do you know from Iceland? I didn't even know they had any golf courses.
I know one now. Wow.
Yeah. So good for her. That's a pretty cool story. I like that.
That's amazing. Yeah. The international flavor on the leaderboard.
The Icelandic golfers reigning right now.
That's fantastic. Now, the Senior Open Championship, some horrible conditions as we spoke about earlier. There's a five-way tie for the lead. Steve Flesch, Billy Mayfair, Maurizio Molina, Bernhard Langer, of course, and Tom Lehman, who had a decent showing, who played well, I should say, last week at the Open Championship at Birkdale. They're all at one over par, and then you have Mr. Miguel Angel Jimenez, three off the lead, Peter Lawner there as well, and of course, the ageless wonder, Tom Watson, four off the lead.
Crazy. Tom Lehman and Stuart Sink were actually sitting beside us at a dinner last week, just at a restaurant. We just happened to be in there, and they were sitting beside us, and they were laughing and asking about talking about good memories they had of playing in the RBC Canadian Open. Of course, Stuart Sink is playing this week.
Of course.
Out there, but they were talking about how much they loved coming up to Canada. The RBC Canadian Open leaderboard, we've gone over it, but let's take another glance at it. Martin Flores is the leader at 12 under par, three players at 11. Mm-hmm. Matt Every, Gary Woodland, who had the 63 yesterday, almost tied the course record, missed a short putt on his last hole, not short, 12-footer. Mm-hmm. Brandon Hagee also at 11. And then at 10 under, you've got Vijay Singh, Kevin Chappell, Ryan Ruffles, and Charlie Hoffman, along with Harold Varner III. Mm. Scott Stallings, they're underway, of course, out there. Scott Stallings has made a fast move. He is 5 under through 9 holes, moving his score to 9 under par. He's moved up 48 spots this morning, so maybe that's an indication that this golf course out at Glen Abbey is going to be ripe for the picking. But the only other guy who's making a bit of a move, there's a few 2 unders there, Ryan Armour, Jim Furyk, 2 under. He's up to 6 under par, so we'll see what they can do. It looks like it's going to be ripe for scoring out there. We've seen some low rounds, but if the wind picks up, I think that will be the defense of this golf course today.
Absolutely, and it's rare that you see, so the cut was 4 under, and the lead's 12 under. It's a pretty narrow, you know, 8 shots between either you're going home or you're in the lead, which is very interesting. Now, yesterday afternoon, other than Gary Woodland's excellent round of golf, it did seem it was a little more challenging in terms of wind. I know the wind's supposed to be a little, it's supposed to be windier today on the golf course. But yeah, Gary Woodland's round, as he said after his round, everything was really clicking for him. And obviously when you shoot 63, tying his career best on the PGA Tour, and even making, he had 10 birdies and a bogey, which is pretty impressive to shoot 63 with a bogey, isn't it?
Now, it sure is. Now, he signed up to play in this tournament because he was sort of on the bubble in terms of world rankings. Yep. He wanted to try and keep himself inside the top 50 so he could play next week at the WGC. Now, he kind of solidified that at the Open Championship, but still came to play. Mm. And I saw him down earlier this week. He was down at a Blue Jays game. He went down to batting practice, and they sent out a picture of him standing on the field with his caddy, Brent Little, next to Josh Donaldson.
Yes.
So they're big Blue Jays fans. There's been a bunch of guys down at the Blue Jays games. I saw pictures of Adam Hadwin in the dugout.
Right.
Matt Kuchar was down, I know, for batting practice one day.
Yeah, I know that. Yeah, there was a tweet from Adam Hadwin saying he was taking the train down to the Blue Jays game, and it's almost like a destination event, if you will, for some of these guys. Like, yes, you know, schedule wise, it's not in the greatest of positions per se, but you know, there's so much to do around the Toronto area, and yes, the Blue Jays aren't as good as they've been in the past, but to go to a Jays game is always a great experience for some of these guys.
That's right. Now, a lot of the players stay downtown now these days. I know they used to all stay out in Oakville, but a lot of them stay downtown so they can enjoy some of that stuff.
Oh, really? Okay.
Some enjoy the Blue Jays, some of the finer restaurants that we've got downtown.
Yep.
And I know Matt Kuchar's down there. I know Gary's down there. There's a bunch of them. down taking in the big city in the mm-hmm. summertime. All right, let's put you on the spot.
Yeah.
Give me a guy who you think is going to win, but also give me a guy who you think is going to make a big move today.
Well, one guy who I think is going to make a big move today is Tony Finau. Mm. And I know you spoke to him very briefly after his round yesterday. He's just a bomber of the golf ball. And like a lot of these guys, if the putt's going with him, he's just a very streaky putter, but he hits it an absolute mile off the tee. And if he can keep that on the planet, he's a guy I'll definitely be watching. Another guy, Charlie Hoffman, got to watch him a little bit yesterday. He just hits it so solid. And he's been in contention in the majors, at least on Thursdays this year. So yeah, right. If he can get some of that mojo going, 68, 66 thus far, I think he could come out on top this weekend.
He had a great first round at the Masters this year in some unbelievably difficult
conditions.
One of
the best rounds of the year, for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. One of the best rounds I've seen at Augusta National. I like his chances as well. I think Johnny Vegas is going to make a move today. 66, 69, another guy who kind of hits it hard. He had an interesting conversation yesterday. Of course, he is from Venezuela, mm-hmm. and they're going through some horrific stuff down there with government problems and protests and things. And he said he's kind of keeping one eye on that. He's got family back there, and he's doing all he can to try and help them out. But he was very very opinionated on his feelings about the government and the situation mm-hmm. that's going on down there. So it's got to be difficult for him to be fully committed and focused on what's going on the golf course when you're kind of worried about what's happening back at home. I also like the fact that I think Dustin Johnson's going to break out today. Mm-hmm. I think he's just got something going that he's so close to putting it all together, as I mentioned a little bit earlier in the show with Mark in there. But and what do you think about our Canadians' chances? I love them. I love both those guys. I think can fill it up as well.
Yeah, you know, it's going to be definitely interesting to see how they both do. I think Graham's in a great pairing with Ian Poulter today. It's going to be an electric atmosphere. He hit 12 of 14 fairways yesterday. And if he can do that again, and if the putts, you know, fall, his short game has been pretty good thus far this week. I believe he's 7 to 10 scrambling, so which is pretty good for him. And hopefully he can just, you know, keep the ball rolling here in a sense and feed off. You know, the atmosphere is going to be absolutely wild. And it's the same thing with Mackenzie Hughes playing with Tag Ridings. As we mentioned earlier, if he can limit those mistakes, and as Mark said earlier, 69 is the worst score he could, you know, potentially shoot this weekend. If he can just keep those good vibes going and same thing with Graham, just feed off the crowd, he'd go pretty low today.
What do you think about Vijay Singh before we go? I think that's the most interesting story. By the way, he's got a Canadian caddy on his bag. And I think that's that could help him.
Definitely.
We'll see how
there's definitely, there won't be any shortage of practicing by Vijay. I know he probably spent most of the day on the range after playing
it's
in the
Danny
morning.
Sorry, I forgot his name. It's Danny Saul is the caddy, a former Canadian tour player.
Who's
in his own right. Sorry, he was caddying for Mike for a little bit. Sorry, go ahead.
there'd definitely be no shortage of practicing for Vijay. It would definitely be a unique story for him to sort of, at 54 years old, sort of do what he's doing. He's got the old school glasses on, too.
I was wondering about that yesterday.
And he's got the very unique putting grip going, which he's had now for a couple months, where he's got the claw, but the hands are sort of detached from each other. He's always a very interesting guy to watch. If you're there today, go watch Vijay Singh on the range, because he'll have sort of gizmos going and swinging one
training
way and swinging the other. And he's a piece of work for sure.
He's relentless in his practice. Yeah. And he says, you know, he much prefers the competitive drive mm-hmm. of playing on the PGA Tour rather than the check on the Champions Tour. But I think he might, if he gets maybe one more victory in the tank, or maybe plays one more good year, I think you might see him slide over there.
Yeah.
I just don't know if Vijay's the guy who will just kind of play three rounds and have a glass of wine after the round.
I don't
like
see
some
him.
Of those guys in the Champions Tour.
Yeah, he'll be beating the ball for until sunset, I think, every day.
All right, Lee, we got a lot of golf ahead. Golf Talk Canada TV will be back. We're going to actually take our show on the road, hopefully, to mm-hmm. the Canadian Amateur, which is out of Toronto Golf and Islington Golf Club next week. We're going to do that. And lots of golf coming up. We got a women's major next week So we'll fill you up with Golf Talk Canada TV, Golf Talk Canada Radio, always looking out for you. And if you want your golf news, tune in on the radio or on TV. That's it for this week. Have a great time out at Glen Abbey, everybody. We'll talk to you out there. If you see us, say hello. That's it for this week on Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by the Muskoka Bay Club. Live, stay, and play at our award-winning championship golf course. Visit MuskokaBayResort.com today. thank you for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Golf Talk Canada. For blogs, show archives, video highlights, and TV schedule, visit us online at golftalkcanada.ca.